Well, last week we talked about we began in Galatians chapter 3 talking about Paul's six arguments against the Judaizers. And you say, Pastor, what are Judaizers? What do we have to deal with this for? Well, Judaizers were this. They were people that were trying to take people that were saved and say, you need to follow the law. You need to be circumcised if you're male. You need to go to the temple. You need to keep holy the Sabbath day and everything. And so Paul's been coming at us, and he started out by first appealing to the Galatians and saying, you know, you guys have experienced something different. You were saved and you were never circumcised, and you've been having the joy of the Lord. So is that really true based on your experience? And today he's going to get into a scriptural argument, and he's going to talk about what the scriptures say about what salvation is, and is works necessarily required. And then, of course, as we go through, we're going to talk about a logical argument, a historical argument, a sentimental argument, and an allegorical argument. And so the church is filled with nothing but arguments, at least for the next couple weeks, as we talk about these things, because these are very important. You and I say, well, we don't have any Judaizers here. Well, let me break it down for you in this way. Has anybody ever said that you need to do this to believe in Jesus? Maybe they've said you need to come to Montague Baptist Church. Maybe they said you need to come to our church. Maybe they said you need to be baptized in order to be saved. Maybe they said you need to make sure that you read your Bible every single day or you can't be saved. A lot of people add to what Jesus has already done. The law has been fulfilled by Jesus Christ. He's kept every point of the law. He has been willing to go and suffer terribly for us in order to pay the penalty that the law required to be paid because of not his sin, because he was perfect, he was without blemish, but for our sins. Yes, even those of us that are 2,000 years later, sitting here in this church, Jesus did all that was necessary for our sins to be blotted out, to be separated from us as far as the east is from the west. And yet people are continuing to say, you must do this. And Paul says to those people, and I would say the same thing, you be accursed for adding to the gospel the free grace of God. It is grace and grace alone that we are saved, and that's what we need to do. So in order to back this up, he has to go and he has to talk to these Jewish people about something that is very important to them. So if we go to Galatians chapter 3, and we read in those from verse 6 through 9, we read the following. It says, even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness, know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. And the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. So then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. If we were a Jewish person, a lot of what we would talk about would go back to many, many, almost 2,000 years before Jesus Christ was born. A man that was born called Abram. And Abram was a ordinary man. He lived in an ordinary city. He had all the ordinary distractions of life. And then, all of a sudden, at the age of 75, he was older than I am. A man older than I am, all of a sudden God says, Abram, follow me. That's all he said. And Abram packed up everything and he left. Sold off all his goods, his house, his everything. He got his couple camels. He got his stuff to go. And he left and he followed the Lord to who knows where. God didn't say, I'm going to take you to Cana. He just said, follow me. And Abram did just that. And he went up to Haran, and he came down into the promised land. Famine came, and he went down into Egypt, and the famine, and then he came back, and he went back twice. He went to Egypt because of famine. And all the time, he went at the direction of God. He didn't have a church to attend. He didn't even have a group of believers to follow. He just had God. And Abram followed God by faith. And in fact, if we were to open up our Bibles and we were to turn to Genesis chapter 15, we'd soon learn a little bit about Abram. And in Genesis 12, actually, verses 1 through 3, we read the following. Now the Lord said unto Abram, now that was Abraham's name before he was given a new name by God, which he does to every single one of us that by faith believe in him. Get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee, and I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be blessed. And I will bless them that bless thee and curse them that curses thee, and in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. So here is God's command to Abram. Imagine me coming to you, or not me, but God coming to you and saying, Amanda, I want you to follow me. I want you to sell everything you have. Keep your car because you're going to need that because we're going places. But I want you to go with me. And I, you can take along Michael. But I want you to follow me wherever you go. Wherever I lead you. And then Amanda's first thought is, Lord, where are we going? Mm-hmm. And God says to Amanda, that's a secret. I'll let you know when we get there. And that's exactly what happened to Abram. He was called by God out of nowhere in the middle of his life. It was in the middle of his life, believe it or not. 75 years was half life for Abram, who lived to 150. No accidents in God's plan, just perfect planning. That's all it is. And so there is Abram. And then if we follow the scriptures a little bit further along, we go to Genesis 17:10, a little further on in the book. Abram is now 99 years old. It's 24 years after Genesis 12. And this is my covenant, which ye shall keep between me and you and thy seed after thee. Every man child among you shall be circumcised. So for 24 years, Abram ran around following God wherever he wanted, and he had never been circumcised. Yet, those Judaizers were coming to the Gentiles, and they're saying, you cannot be saved, you cannot show faith, unless you have been circumcised. Yet for 24 years, Abram wasn't circumcised. In fact, if we were to go to, I believe it's in Genesis 15, we see God setting up a covenant with Abram and saying, out of you will I bless the entire world because you are willing to believe in me. In fact, some people say that there was a contract made there in Genesis chapter 15. The interesting thing about that contract is if I have a contract and I want to have a contract with you, what is required of you? You agree and you
sign.
Abram never had to sign. If we look at the ritual that they went through, he never was able to make it through the things that were parted. He never signed the covenant because the covenant related wholly on God. Abram was a man of faith. He followed God faithfully, and God has blessed anyone who will believe by the same type of faith all the way to today. It's not by circumcision. It's not by any works that you do. It's not by the fact that you are coming into church. Coming into church is a good thing, but that's not what saves you. Tithing does not save you. It's something that follows faith, because we see later on as Abram grows and as God blesses him, that he tithes to Melchizedek the priest after a great victory. When God gives him all this stuff, he says, nope, I don't want any of it. You give it back to them, and here, I'm going to give a tithe of all that you've given me. Because he believed that God was taking care of him. And so here is the argument that Paul takes to these people. He says, look at Abram. Was Abram circumcised before God says, I declare you righteous? No. He was never circumcised. He had never done, he did not keep the Sabbath. He did not keep the law. Some of the Jewish people are so concerned about the law, that you know what they did? They started rewriting some of their fables, for lack of a better term, where they said that, you know, God had put in the heart of Abram the law, and Abram kept the law, even though the law was not written yet. Because when was the law written? For those of you Bible scholars that know your history and your sequence of events. Was the Mosaic law given before Abraham?
After.
It was given after. You know how much after? 500 years later. In the meantime, you have Abraham, you have Isaac, you have Jacob, and you have all the rest of all those people that went off into Egypt. All of them were living without the law. How could they be declared righteous? How could God? Because it is all based upon God. It is not based upon our works. Can I repeat that and jump up and down and get you to understand? It's not based on our works. It's based only on what Jesus has done. Has done. Not doing. He has done. We are complete in Him. And here is the argument that Paul is saying. He says, Abram was not justified by works, neither can you be justified by works. Abram was justified by his faith in God and his willingness to follow God. You will be justified by your willingness to follow his Son, Jesus Christ. And we try to make it so much more complicated. And I just want to stop here and take a squirrel trail, if you want, or a sidelight. When was the last time that you said, Lord, what do you want me to do? And then God pops that thought in your mind. I want you to, maybe he wants you to give $100 to this, that, or the other thing. Or maybe he wants you to go and visit this person. Or maybe he wants you to go and call that person. Or maybe he wants you to get involved in this ministry. Or maybe he wants you to think about, what are we going to do about all these single women that don't have a housing? And he starts burdening your heart. When was the last time you said yes to what he was planning to do? Do you see, there is true faith. When God plants a thought in our minds, when he speaks to our hearts, we respond and we follow. That is an act of faith. But that is not what these Judaizers were trying to do. They were trying to get these people to say that if you want to be godly, if you want to be righteous, if you want to be right in God's eyes, then you need to do this. Keep the Sabbath day. You need to do this. Make sure that you have your sacrifice. You need to make sure that you go to Jerusalem. Well, what? A Gentile that has no idea what Jerusalem's all about. They don't know any of that. In fact, you know what? They didn't even have a copy of the Old Testament to read available. Not that it wasn't there. But that it was not available to most people, because it was to own a book, to own anything that was written, was extremely difficult. It was for the rich people. And by rich, you know, that's defined by the society at its time. So here we have this problem that Paul is addressing, that Abraham was saved by faith, and by faith alone. Abraham was blessed by God because of faith, right? And so that was the truth of Abraham's blessing. And my goodness, I've got so many verses in here. What do I do to read them all? Let me catch one for you, though. Because here's what happened with the Israelites, the Jewish people, the Judaizers. You see, they believed that because I was born a Jew, because I was born as a son or daughter of Israel, therefore I was included in that covenant promise that God gave to Abram. And Jesus confronts this in John chapter 8. He also confronts it in John chapter 5 and in John chapter 6 and in Matthew. He's confronting this continually. Jesus himself did. But in John 8:44, he says something very interesting about these Jewish people and their tendency to believe that they could be that because they were born an Israelite, they were therefore God's chosen people and had a place in heaven reserved for them. He says in John chapter 8, verse 44, he says this, ye are of your father the devil. Did you get that? Ye are of your... Who's he talking to? He's talking to the sanctimonious ones. He's talking to the religious leaders of the day. And he says, ye are of your father the devil. And it goes on and it says this. It says, and the lusts of your father you will do. In other words, all those things that your fathers craved doing, you know, whether it was apple pie or hot dogs or whatever it may be, those things that they craved to do, right? The lusts of your father ye will do. In other words, you're just based following their traditions. You're stuck in a rut, right? And he goes on and he says, he was a murderer, speaking of the devil, right? The father of the devil. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in truth. He didn't live in truth. He didn't have any tendency to stay. He didn't want to live in truth. He hated truth because there is no truth in him. And when he speaketh the lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it, and you are his children. Do you understand what he's saying? Let's just take for an example that someone here is an Israelite. And I go to them, and I've been raised by my dad and my mom, and I've been taught that these things are. And he says to them, imagine this being said to you. You are living a lie. Your father's lived a lie, and now you're believing that lie. And so all of this that they're talking about, keeping the law, that that's the only way to be saved, that's the only way to be righteous, is a lie that comes from who? The devil. Anybody want to follow the devil?
Not me.
Then believe the lie and believe that what you do is going to get you into heaven. It's not what you do, it's who you believe in that's going to get you into heaven. And that's what Paul is arguing. He says, Abram was saved, he was declared righteous is the word, before he was ever circumcised. And so there in Galatians 3, it goes on. Many people today are confused about what it means to be saved. Is it acting and behaving like our most admired person? Is it a matter of being born into a family that is saved? No. It is about faith in God. Willingness to believe that he wants to bless and guide you because you have placed your faith in what Jesus did on the cross at Calvary. His death, burial, and resurrection. We must believe first like Abraham believed. We must be willing to surrender to go wherever and however he leads us. Into areas we don't know about, to places we can't imagine, to leave all our attachments to this world behind and pursue the will of God wherever it may lead us. Deb and I were saved in November of 1978. We were in Albany, Oregon. Within 2 years of that date, God took us from Albany, Oregon to Albany, New York, to Scroon Lake, New York. From there, he took us from Albany, Oregon to Tacoma, Washington. From Tacoma, Washington, he took us to Hawaii. From Hawaii, he took us to China. From China, he took us to Virginia. And everybody asked, why in the world did you come to Virginia? Because God led us here. Because God said to go. Still don't understand it to this day. Don't necessarily like it. Would love to be back in Hawaii and being able to paddleboard out in the sunshine and the warm air. Yes, I would. Yes, I would. But this is where God led us. I've been leading by faith. That's what God asked me to do. That's what I'm doing. And then he led us from Virginia to Montague Baptist Church. And Pastor Rob did not choose to be here. God led me to be here. It is an act of faith. And why do I bring that? To toot my own horn and to say, look, I'm a man of faith? No, that's not it. It's to show you this is how God works. This is what God wants. Was I faithful in everything? Absolutely not. But God leads and we're to follow. And that's what true faith is all about. So do you want that blessing? Then believe like Abraham believed. The alternative is what we come up to next. If you're not going to believe and be blessed by faith, then what happens? Verse 10 to 12. The truth of Israel's curse. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident. The just shall live by faith, and the law is not of faith. But the man that doeth them shall live in them. Abraham and his descendants lived 500 years without the law of Moses. Multiple generations never sacrificed, never worshipped, never kept the Sabbath day. Works did not provide for their salvation. Faith and faith alone did. And so it says there, for as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse of the law. Here's what's happening. You can either believe by faith and be blessed,
or you can try to work out your own salvation and only bring a curse upon you. Is there anybody in here that has not spoken the truth? You're under the curse. You're cursed. You're under God's judgment. Anybody here ever want something their neighbor had? Ah, you're cursed too. You're under the curse of the law because you're basing it upon works. He goes on and he says, "For it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all the things which were written in the book of the law to do that." You know, do I need to go back and read that again? Let's pay attention now. It says, cursed is everyone. How many?
Everybody.
That continues. What does continues mean?
Keep doing.
Moving on. Rolling on. Keeping on trucking, right? Who doeth, continueth not in how many things?
All.
And that includes what?
Everything.
All things of the law. Do you know that if we really want to get under the law, you and I are cursed? Because we're not sacrificing animals, are we? In fact, we're not even keeping the Sabbath day holy. We're here on Sunday, not Saturday. Saturday's the Sabbath. Oh my goodness. We're all cursed. If you want to live by the law, if you want to live by rules and expect those rules to make you a good person, then you're going to end up being cursed. Cursed is everyone that liveth, tries to live by the law, right? For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. I would love to have the time and the ability to say to each and every one of you, what is your definition? What is your practical understanding of the works of the law? And we'd get a variety of reasons. But let me transpose it to today's world. The works of the law. What is it that you think is going to make you right in God's eyes? Some people are going to say, well, I'm right in God's eyes because I was a member of this church. I'm right in God's eyes because my mom and dad were members of the church and now I'm a member of this church and that's what makes me right. And some people are going to say, well, I came to communion and that's what makes me right. And some people are going to say, well, I gave to the church. That makes me right. Some people say, I was baptized. That makes me right. But it says, not by the works of the law. Because if you failed in any of those, you failed in all. He that is offended in the least of all these things is guilty of all. James 4 talks about that. That if we do not fulfill all the law, then we're under the judgment of the law. James says it, Paul says it, they all say it. And yet we continue to hold up our works as if they're making us perfect. My friends, I want us to transpose our thinking. God wants us to transpose our thinking that we want to be following Jesus and doing as he asks us, not pre-planning that if I do this, this, and this, then I'm going to be a good person. Not by the works of the law shall any man be justified therein. But that no man is justified by the law is in the sight of God is evident. And then he goes and he quotes Habakkuk. And it says there in Habakkuk 2:4, the just shall live by faith. And some people will go around and they'll say, well, you know, this whole idea of living by faith, that's just, you know, New Testament. Yet there in Habakkuk, in the Old Testament prophets, we have a reference, a direct reference, a very clear reference that the just shall live by faith. I think the rest of it is all imposed upon everything because we know that Abraham was justified by his faith in God, not by anything that he did, but by his faith in God, his willingness to follow God wherever God would lead him. And today I think there's some of us here that aren't following the lead that God has put into them. We're not following what God has asked us to do. We're sitting there and we're saying, that's too risky. I don't want to do that. And we wonder why our lives aren't being blessed. because we don't want to do as God asked us to do. We can use Moses' excuse, blah, 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 I stutter. Or what am I going to tell people? God says, go, I'll give you the words. God says, go, I'll open the doors. God says, go, I'll shut the doors. I will harness the enemy. But you need to go. The just shall live by faith. And he goes on and he says there, and the law is not of faith, but the law, the man that doeth them shall live in them. The law is not of faith. So either you live by faith or you live in the law. And if you live in the law, you have to fulfill all the law. And oh my goodness, that is too hard for me. That would definitely be a curse. Because I know I cannot fulfill the law. I know that I can't even fulfill my own requirements. And my requirements are nothing compared to what God's requirements are. How many times have I said, I'm going to do this, this, and this, and that something comes up in the way, or I just don't feel like it. I decide it's time to take a nap instead. You know? And that's where we're at. The truth of the matter is either we live by faith and are blessed, or we live by the law and we're cursed. Cursed is every man that hangeth on a tree. And he's not cursed because he's hanging on the tree. What would happen in those days is if you were an offender of the law, you would be killed somehow. And don't need to get into the graphics of some of the ways that they killed people. The cross is probably the most excruciating one that they did. But then you would be hung on a post, tied to a post, put in the public square in order to remind people that if you break the law, there's a consequence. That might work today, wouldn't it? You think we could stop some of this idiocy that's going on? We started having people... that's really gross. I don't know that I could endorse that fully. My guts aren't in there. I don't know that I could stomach it. But that's what it meant to be. Cursed is everyone that hangeth on the tree. They've been found guilty. They've been paid the price for their penalty. And they've been put as a public example in front of other people. They tried to make a public example of Jesus by hanging him on that tree. It was a matter of humiliation. But what did he do? Did he stay dead?
No.
He came to life. He came out of the grave. He rose up. He visited his disciples. He ascended into heaven. And now he's here to abide in the hearts of anyone that will put their faith and trust in him. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his work, according to his mercy, he saved us. And so we need to keep that in mind, that it is not the law that we want to pursue. It's not rules and regulations that make us righteous. It's Jesus Christ, even today as believers. We thwart the work that God wants to do in our hearts because we believe we can't do good enough. And because I'm a failure, therefore, God can't use us. That is a statement of lack of faith. Faith would say, I have failed. God still wants me to use me because I'm his child, and I need to try again. Try again. Try again. We'll do that in everything else. But when it comes to spiritual matters, oh, I'm a failure. But yet we get up and we'll go to work and try again to make another few dollars, hoping to make a little bit of progress. We'll get up and we'll try to put another stick or to make another modification or do something. But when it comes to our spiritual matters, we have a tendency to let sin keep us from moving on in faith. We think that we have to fulfill the law in order to be used of God. God says, I want you to listen for my voice. I want you to respond so that you don't end up cursed, but true. So the truth of the matter is, it doesn't come by the law, right? The blessings don't come by the law. Abraham did not catch them by the law. Those who try to live by the law end up cursing themselves. But look what it says there in verse 12. And the law is not of faith, but the man that doeth them shall live in them. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. Here is where the blessing begins. When we begin to see that Jesus Christ allowed himself, it wasn't Herod It wasn't the Jewish people. It was God himself that allowed himself to be put on a cross and shamed because he wanted to pay the penalty for your sins. Your sin nature. He wanted to transform that totally, and he was willing to do that. And Paul is saying, my friends, it's by faith only in what Christ did on the cross of Calvary that we are saved. Nothing else can be added to it. It is done. It is finished. That is all that's needed. Faith in Jesus Christ. What do we need to believe in? Faith in Jesus Christ. What do we need to believe in? Faith in Jesus Christ. Is there any end on there? No, there's no end. It's only faith in Jesus Christ and his finished work. His what? His finished work. It's what? Finished. Done. Completed. Do you have enough faith to believe in that? Or do you think you can add something to what the eternal, infinite, almighty God did? And you think that you can add something to that? Stop deceiving yourselves. Stop letting the devil deceive you. Don't follow your father. The father of the devil. The one that lies and abides not in truth. That the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, and that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through him. The blessing comes. Abraham, 3,000 years ago, 3,700, 800 years ago, walked by faith, was justified by faith, and through him, not just Israel, another one of the errors that Israel had, but it says all the world will be blessed because of him. Because through him comes the Messiah. Through him comes the Savior. Through him comes salvation that is available to all the world and has always been available to all the world. But now we have that good news. And we need to take that good news. Because it says, blessing of Abraham might come unto the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. That we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. You see, it's not by the works of the law, but it's by the renewing of the Holy Spirit. Why renewing? Because you and I go through life and we get stuck in our sins, we make our failures, and we quench the Holy Spirit of God. But God is here today and he's saying that I want to renew my spirit in you. I want to provide you direction. I want to say to you, get up and follow me. The Spirit of God is stirring in our hearts today. Somebody here is going to make a commitment to follow him. They're willing to say, okay, my plans, I'm going to put them aside. I've got to follow through with this because that is where the Spirit of the Lord is. That is where the blessing is. It's in following the Spirit of the Lord. We don't necessarily have